Good morning, everybody. We're thankful to be here. As you know, we're having to maneuver a side road that's very dusty, but I've been blessed by it many times over because of the beauty along the way. So I can't complain. I wanted to make one comment talking about fathers and the blessing they are to us. I am thankful today for our Heavenly Father that provided us with the Holy Spirit, because that's what I would like to focus on a little bit today. I was hoping to follow up a little bit last week's service on the Pentecost, simply because the Lord has continued to show me personally how much I need of the Holy Spirit in my life. So I'd like to start by sharing an experience that was told by Pastor Finley. It was something that occurred many years ago, early in his ministry. He had been invited to conduct a week of spiritual emphasis at a local Christian school where he was living at the time. And in the first few days that he got there, it was very apparent to him that two of the teachers there were having some serious issues. Their negative attitudes toward each other regularly arose in staff meetings. If one would suggest an idea, the other would oppose it. When both were present in the meeting, everyone else could feel the tension in the air. It was clear that they didn't like or care for each other. Toward the end of the week, Pastor Finley talked about Christ's great intercessory prayer, which is found in John 17. He talked about the time when Jesus was preparing to leave the disciples, that soon he would be betrayed and crucified, and then how he would rise again from the grave and ascend to his Father. His earnest prayer in John 17 reflected what was on Jesus' heart during all this time and what was on his mind just before he died on the cross. So what was he thinking about? The Savior was concerned about the unity of the church. He prayed in verse 21 of John 17 that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. And why? That the world may believe that you sent me. Christ longed for the dissension, the jealousy, the striving for supremacy, and the conflict between his disciples to cease. He wanted it to be over. He prayed that their unity, despite all their differences, would reveal to the world the power of his love. And that prayer is still for us today, brothers and sisters. As Pastor Finley shared this longing of Jesus' heart with these students and teachers, something began to happen. On the last night of this week of spiritual emphasis, they had planned a communion service along with a foot washing. The Holy Spirit broke through, he says, in a powerful way. The students and the faculty were able to witness the two teachers who had been experiencing such division kneeling at each other's feet. The Spirit of God broke down the barriers. They embraced, they confessed their negative attitudes, and they prayed together. That little experience is a relatively modern example of what the disciples must have experienced just before Pentecost. During those 10 days, the disciples had been earnestly praying. And then they began to confess their petty differences toward one another. They humbly repented of their pride and their jealousy. And their hearts were filled with a love for Christ, who had given his all for them. How they wished that they could live those last 3.5 years over again. When we see God's unconditional loving kindness, and the perfect righteousness of his character, we began to recognize our own weaknesses, our shortcomings, and our sins. Our hearts are humbled, and we are led to deep confession and repentance. We cry out to him for salvation and for the righteousness that only he can give us. When we're overwhelmed with the beauty of his holiness, we cry out like prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Self-examination isn't usually the most pleasant experience, but it is absolutely necessary for our Christian life. In self-examination, we ask God, "Is there anything in my life that is not in harmony with God's will?" And we pray, "Lord, please reveal those attitudes deep in my soul that are not like Jesus." I had an experience recently that spoke directly to the condition of my heart. It was probably a couple Sundays ago. I was at home, and Oasis was with me, my grandson, and we were about to leave home. We'd been busy loading up all our stuff in the car to come into town, and we were ready. And I got in the car, and I was missing my keys, which is not an uncommon occurrence. We looked everywhere, in the house, in the garage. We looked all inside the car. We looked on the ground, and there was nothing. But as I kept looking, a thought came to me two or three times, check the garden. But I wouldn't, because I knew I had not taken them to the garden. I was positive. But finally, with all other possibilities exhausted, I finally went to the garden. And sure enough, there they were, lying right next to my tomato plants. I couldn't believe it. Then, the next day, we went in, and Nathaniel was playing baseball. So we went to his game, and I was playing with my granddaughters, and we were kind of halfway watching the game because we'd wait for him to go up and bat because that's what we wanted to see. And then we'd play again for a little while. Well, when the game was over, we went back to my son Nathan's house, and I got there, and guess what? My keys were missing. Again, 2 days in a row. I began to search again, like I always do. I searched the kitchen, the living room, the car, and we even went back to the park to try and see if maybe I'd lost my keys there. And again, two or three times throughout that time, the thought came to my mind, check upstairs in the bedroom. But I refused, again, I being certain that I had not taken them up there. But with no other choice, I said, okay, I'll go check the bedroom. And of course, there they lay on the desk. Well, you know, that my keys aren't the worst thing that could happen in the world. But you know, God uses anything he can to speak to us. And that night, as I was about to go to sleep and was spending some time in prayer, God spoke to my mind. And he said to me, "Do you realize how often you trust in yourself to get through things? I'm right there giving you the answer, guiding you, and you won't pay attention. You waste so much time and energy going your own way." And that was only with the keys. I was pricked in my heart to think of how many other times in more serious matters I go my own way. What a reminder of the human tendency. So that broke my heart to realize how I so often put my wisdom before God's. It was so clear to me. It was just such, it was like, wow. I repented, and I humbly thanked him for giving me the awareness of where my heart was, because that was a pretty clear indication. God's goal in all of this is simply to lead us closer to him. He doesn't want us to get stuck in guilt or be filled with remorse over our lives, but it is healthy to take a candid look at our own spiritual lives. Now, it is unhealthy to dwell on those past faults, because I think probably we all have experienced this. If we focus too long on our mistakes, we get pretty discouraged. Always remember, our Lord is bigger than our mistakes and greater than our failures. We certainly need to honestly know our condition, but it is more important to know His grace. But I'd like to, in taking time to examine ourselves, I'd like to share this thought that really spoke to me in understanding the purpose of self-examination in our lives. It goes like this. It's 3 points. It says, when understanding our weakness prepares us to receive His strength. Understanding our sinfulness prepares us to receive His righteousness. Understanding our ignorance prepares us to receive His wisdom. And to me, that just paints such a beautiful picture of how God is working in us when we take time with Him in prayer to think about, where are we at? Where is our heart at? Ellen White wrote, there's nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance. That's what makes Satan afraid. If we're willing to take time to examine our hearts and clear away the things in our hearts that are hindering us, so that the Lord can pour out His Spirit upon a languishing church and an impenitent congregation. Alone, we are completely incapable of seeing the depths of our sinful hearts. But imagine with me our Almighty God doing the work in us to clear the way by removing every hindrance in us. So then the Lord can pour out His Spirit into us. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is to lead us closer to Jesus. As we recognize our sins through the process of self-examination, we can thank God that the Holy Spirit is leading us closer to Jesus and, as a result, closer to each other. We can see ourselves as a body becoming more one, becoming more united, despite our differences. This is His plan to bring us into unity. And you know, when I think about it, sometimes I think, ugh, that's impossible. I think about the things that I don't agree with someone else, and I'm like, how is it going to ever work? But the Holy Spirit is there, and God has given us the promise that He will do the work with the help of the Holy Spirit to change each one of us to make us one. The convicting power of the Holy Spirit is preparing us to receive the fullness of the Spirit in latter rain power. If we really want to make a difference in the lives of others, we need the Holy Spirit to pour into our lives and our hearts and consume all the self that He finds in us. This is another thought that I really appreciate. It says, before God makes us, He must break us. Before He fills us, He must empty us. Before He is enthroned in our hearts, self must be dethroned. The call to each one of us is to commit faithfully to a consistent, daily coming before the Lord for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. A fresh baptism, meaning to be renewed, to be energized every single day by the Holy Spirit. Ellen White says, we may have a measure of the Spirit of God, so we're not completely empty of the Holy Spirit, right? But by prayer and faith, we are to continually seek more of the Spirit. And Jesus, as always, is our perfect example. In Christ Object Lessons, it says about Him, not for Himself, but for others, He lived and thought and prayed. From hours spent with God, He came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. Daily, he received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in receiving this fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's not about what we get. It's about the Holy Spirit getting more and more of us. As he has more of us, he is freer to work powerfully in our lives. Why? Because we are no longer getting in the way. Can you imagine being able to get out of the way so that he could just work powerfully in us? Do we really desire to have more of the Holy Spirit? I'd like each one of us to ask ourselves that question. How much do we hunger for that experience? I'd like to take a moment before I finish, because this wasn't too long, I don't think, to look at five steps that Scripture gives us that reminds us what is involved in daily seeking a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to, like Julie, I'm going to ask for, I have four texts, so I need four volunteers to read a Bible text for us. And in those verses, we'll find the 5 points related to what we need to do in daily asking for the Holy Spirit. So do I have four volunteers? There's one. Amy, I'll give you John 7, 37 through 39. Someone else? Julie, Acts 2:38, and Tim, Acts 5:32, and one more, Judah, Luke 11:13. So as soon as you have it, you can go ahead and stand up and read it, and we have 5 steps to look for. The first step, which Amy's going to read, has kind of 3 in 1.
John 7.
37 through 39.
Bible's falling apart. John 7, 30.
37 to 39.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Okay, so can anyone pick out the 3 things that we're called to do in that verse? The first one was to come with a thirst. You know, when you're really, really thirsty for water, when you're really, really hunger for the Holy Spirit. Come to Jesus. Then it says to drink. Drink of his word. And the last one is believe. So that kind of all goes together. Acts 2:38.
Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit."
Thank you. And so there's 2 steps we find in that verse. What was the first one? Repent and be baptized. That's right. And they're talking about this, we're talking about this being a daily occurrence. And so when also we talk about being baptized, I think that can refer to also being baptized by the Holy Spirit daily. Acts 5:32.
And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
So what's the step there? To witness and to obey is the call, to obey God's, what he's asking us to do. And then Luke 11:13.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
What's the step there? To ask. So, just in summary, those four verses speak to us about the need of daily seeking the Lord for that fresh baptism. So, number one was to come with a thirst, to read his word and believe. And number two is to repent and be baptized. Number four is to obey whatever God is calling you to do. And finally, to ask and ask over and over again. And so I wanted to just share those steps with you as I studied those out and have been pondering the concept of daily really seeking that, because it's really hit me personally how vital that is. I wanted you guys to know those verses. So what will be the result then in the life of a believer when these steps are applied daily in our lives? Revival and reformation. I think those two words are pretty familiar in Adventism. We talk about needing to be revived and to be reformed. Well, that's what will happen if we are daily asking the Lord for his presence through his Holy Spirit. That will be the result of a genuine Holy Spirit infilling. Our old ways will be given up, and we will seek Jesus with all of our hearts. The fruits of the Spirit will be evident to all. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 reminds us, and if you know them, you can say them with me, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the good news is that when those things are evident in our lives, against such there is what? No law. Isn't that beautiful? When I read that and thinking about that, I was like, wow. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What better use could there be of our time? The choice is to live daily in Jesus' footsteps and accept the call to daily develop the habit to seek a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we may be prepared to be used mightily by God when we receive the fullness of the latter rain. I pray that's the desire in each of your hearts today, because I know that's the call that God keeps giving us over and over again and over again. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have a closing song. Father God, we come to you. First of all, Lord, thank you so much that you provided the Holy Spirit to us, to comfort us, to convict us, to change us, Lord. You have promised to fulfill that work in us, Father God. But our part is to simply continue to come before you every single day, Lord, for your work to continue, because we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't see things. We need you to show us. And give us willing hearts, Father God, to hear you and to listen to your voice guiding us. Help us to be cleansed of self so that we will no longer be in the way of letting you work through us to bring others to you, to show your love to each other and to this world. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.